Brothers and sisters, I was sharing with you last week, especially from McDonald and McGee's commentary, about the passage in Hebrews chapter 4 concerning the Word of God. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We looked quite a bit last week at this, and we looked at a lot of the theology and the explanation of it. This week is much more practical, a message of using the Word of God in evangelism, of putting it to the heart of sinners, because they have to get the Word of God into their heart to be saved. That means to believe on the Word of God. Dear sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Of course, that Lord Jesus Christ is the Word become flesh, the Son of God. Now, I shared with you last week how I got saved, and I was sharing my faith with everybody, but I wasn't seeing anyone get saved. And it wasn't until I started to put the Word of God to the heart of sinners that I started to see people get saved. Here the Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Turn, if you would please, to Judges chapter 3. I understand you guys have been doing a series on Judges. I'm not going to go into a lot of the theology of it. It's just going to be a very practical passage. And I think you guys may have even looked at it. We're just looking at what happens in Judges chapter 3, verses 12 through 30, that might help us in evangelism to put the Word of God to the hearts of men. The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. In Judges chapter 3, we find a two-edged, a double-edged dagger of sorts, a miniature sword that would be used to give God's children the victory and used by a left-handed man, meaning weakness in the flesh. But where we are weak, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness, and the Word of God is, of course, the best thing that we have in our weakness, is that power of God, that it's actually the person of God is intertwined and inseparable from the Word of God, the person of the Lord Jesus. Judges chapter 3, verse 12, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Then he gathered to himself the people of Ammon and Amalek, and went and defeated Israel and took possession of the city of palms." I'll pause there. Just a quick synopsis of before this. The children of Israel had had a time of victory under the leadership of Joshua, where they were faithful to the Word of God, but then they turned their back on the Word of God. And they would, in the book of Judges, it's six cycles. Some count seven, and the number's not that important, but that there were repetitive cycles of turning away from the Word of God and facing defeat. Now, do you think that's descriptive of the church in 2026? Turning away from the Word of God and facing defeat. So many churches are shipwrecked in the faith today. Just not preaching the Word of God and not getting out there to put the Word of God to sinners. Here, God would raise up a judge, Ehud, and he would have a sword, which I believe is a picture or an illustration of the Word of God. So this was during the phase of the Israelites through one of those cycles of sin leading to the repercussions of servitude. They would be freed by repentance and the Word of God being used. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years, verse 14. Verse 15, "But when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man. By him the children of Israel sent tribute to Eglon, king of Moab." Now Ehud made himself a dagger. It was double-edged and a cubit in length, and fastened it under his clothes on his right thigh. He brought the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man. Don't you love the Bible? Right? Just minces, you know, doesn't mince with words. Now Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people who had carried the tribute. But he himself turned back from the stone images that were at Gilgal and said, I have a secret message for you, O king. He said, keep silence. And all who attended him went out from him. So Ehud came to him. Now he was sitting upstairs in his cool private chamber. Then Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. So he arose from his seat. Then Ehud reached with his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. Even the hilt went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade, for he did not draw the dagger out of his belly, and his entrails came out. Then Ehud went out through the porch and shut the doors of the upper room behind him and locked them. When he had gone out, Eglon's servants came to look, and to their surprise, the doors of the upper room were locked. So they said, he's probably attending to his needs in the cool chamber. So they waited till they were embarrassed, and still he had not opened the doors of the upper room. So they took the key and opened them. And there was their master, fallen dead on the floor. But Ehud had escaped while they delayed, and passed beyond the stone images and escaped to Sarah. And it happened when he arrived that he blew the trumpet in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mountains, and he led them. Then he said to them, follow me, for the Lord has delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. So they went down after him, seized the fords of the Jordan leading to Moab, and did not allow anyone to cross over. At that time they killed about 10,000 men of Moab, all stout men of valor. Not a man escaped. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years. A remarkable story. And as we know with many visitors today, everything we read in the Bible is 100% true. This really happened. It's crazy, as wild as a story as it is. And I believe there are applications we can make from this story for evangelism for the church today. So I'm not doing an interpretation of any sorts here of the text. I'm not getting into deep theology. Just what are some practical things we see here that can help us in evangelism? But what Ehud did is he made himself a dagger. It was double-edged and a cubit in length, and fastened it under his clothes on his right thigh. So he became familiar with this small dagger. And I think for us today in evangelism is to become familiar with a set or a series of verses that can serve as your dagger in the work of evangelism. As you seek to put the word of God to the hearts of men, you need to have some scriptures prepared. And this is, you wouldn't think that such a thing is a problem for the church today. And it sadly is. I know it was a problem for me for some time. Somebody, a Muslim at one point, asked me, what does gospel mean? And I was kind of at a loss for words. Now, I was newly saved. I was very much newly saved. But we should be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us, right? The scriptures exhort us for that. Always be ready. And so we have to have something ready. Ehud made himself a dagger. It was double-edged and a cubit in length, and fastened it under his clothes on his right thigh. So this is short. It's a short sword. And I think for me personally, I love to use Roman's Road, and you might consider it my Roman's Gladius that I use. If you're familiar with the Roman Gladius, it was a Roman short sword. It was under 3 cubits in length, sometimes just 2 cubits in length. Now, years ago, a friend of mine, who was a martial artist, had one, and I got to hold it, and I was surprised how short it was, right? Now, Ehud's dagger is even shorter than that, and yet it would do the job perfectly. And I think the lesson for us is, have some verses prepared. It could be very short. In fact, that can be very good. That can be very good because you're not going to get confused in evangelism. You just have a few key verses prepared, and the person you're witnessing to, evangelizing, won't be confused. You're just going through some key verses. Now, I had a stack of bookmarks here of Romans Road. It's my Roman gladius. This is the short sword that I thrust with. Okay? And I aim for the heart. I aim for the heart. Remember, salvation, the head knowledge has to go to the heart. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Roman, please take some of these today as you leave. There are plenty for each of you to have a few. And it's Romans 3:10, 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, 10:9 and 10:13. It sounds like a lot, but those are single verses. They all fit on one side of a bookmark. The other side has the same exact printing on it. And you can memorize these. And this is the gospel in a nutshell. And here's the best part. It works. I got saved through these verses. As many of you have heard my testimony, if you don't remember, I'll just give you a little brief tidbit that toward the end of my testimony, toward the end of nearly 2.5 years of faithful witness from the brethren in Omaha and the saints there, and they had bore with me in great patience, just like with patience Samo had with Jan. They had been patient with me, and I still hadn't gotten saved. And one of the brothers at work typed to me on the workplace messenger chat. And he wanted to talk to me about the gospel. And I didn't want to talk about it. And so I said to him angrily, just tell me what I would even do to be saved and then leave me alone. And he typed out these verses, Romans 3:10, 3:23, 6:23, 5:8. He just typed these out in order. And then I said, okay, I'll print this out. I'll take it home. Now leave me alone. And I did that. I didn't realize I had printed the short sword Roman gladius on which I would fall on that sword later. And it would thrust me through in the heart. The night I got saved, you know the story. The Lord used Netflix of all things. Right? A brother once said to me, God did use a fisherman and a fish net to catch you, Netflix. A net was involved, right? The Lord has a sense of humor. And that night, the Netflix movie I watched was The Gospel of John. The Holy Spirit convicted me in my heart, just like Jan. And I remember thinking, as I was weeping, watching that film, I paused it thinking, there's a Bible in this room. I pulled out the Bible. I didn't know what to do with the Bible. I didn't know where to go. And there was a sheet of paper in there that said, if you're serious, don't play with God. And it had Romans Road, one after another. And that night, as the Holy Spirit led and convicted me of sin, I stabbed myself in the heart. It's of the Lord. It's not of me. Why am I telling you that? To encourage you. Look, if a Muslim can stab himself and get saved, we can thrust people through with the Word of God. Right? In fact, the Great Commission is given to us. And in fact, if you think about it, Dan kind of thrust me through, didn't he? He was the brother who had typed that out, said, don't play with God, go through these. And that night I did, and I got saved. And now we use that in evangelism. And again, it works. It works. Have the short sword ready. And just to speak to the problem of kind of the epidemic of not being able to give the gospel, I don't know what Christian school it was. I honestly don't remember. And perhaps that's better that they had surveyed the Christian college students on what is the gospel. And they could not answer it. Most of them, they couldn't give an answer for what the gospel was. So we need to know what it is, first of all, for our own salvation, to be saved, and then for the salvation of our neighbor, to give them the gospel. Please take as many of these as you want, both for yourself and to share with your neighbor. So a Roman gladius, a short sword, Ehud had something shorter than a Roman gladius. It was a single cubit, and he was up against a fat king, but it would do the job no problem, right? He had made himself a dagger. It was double-edged and a cubit in length, and fastened it under his clothes on his right thigh. The only thing I'll say about this practically is that he's fastening it on the opposite side of his strong hand. He's left-handed, but he's putting it on the other side, which you kind of have to infer something logically, that he may had practiced this at home. He might have practiced this. And I think it's great to look at these verses and just practice this and how you might put this to the heart of man. Right? How might you even start this conversation? Right? One of the ways I like to do it is just put to them the question, are you sure you're going to heaven one day? And you can put that question at the end of just about any conversation. You know, how many of you receive spam phone calls? You guys don't get spammed, right? I think we all get spammed. Right? How many of you have a habit of not answering the phone if you don't recognize the phone number? Right? Because you get spammed. Sometimes I answer the phone and it's spam. They're trying to steal my identity, whatever. I don't give them any personal information. I find out what they want. I tell them, look, I'm not interested in that, but I'm so glad you called today. Are you sure you're going to heaven after you die? Might sound weird posing this question, but you should practice it. He had fastened this on the other side of his thigh. He probably rehearsed this at home. It's very simple. You can even say, how long have you been saved? Wes, how long have you been studying the Bible?
Lose track after a while.
At least 30 years? Yeah, you can say this. Look, I've been studying the Bible for 30 years. I'd be remiss not to ask you, are you sure you're going to heaven after you die? People will get silent on the phone and then just be quiet. I've learned a big part of evangelism is to be quiet. To take the sword, thrust, let it do its job, and wait. Let's see what Ehud did. So he brought the tribute to Eglon, the king of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man. Now, concerning this man being a king and a fat one, Hebrews speaks to us about the word of God, right? Sharper than any two-edged sword. And then it says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. Not even a king. Not even Eglon the king. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So he brought the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now, Eglon was a very fat man, and when he had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people who had carried the tribute. But he himself turned back from the stone images that were at Gilgal and said, I have a message for you, O king. He said, keep silence, and all who attended him went out from him. You can put this to use in practical evangelism. Try to talk to people one-on-one. This is why telemarketers and spam phone calls are so excellent. Because it's a one-on-one conversation. You almost have someone on the phone who's one-on-one. And don't get me wrong, you want to do evangelism in person whenever you can. The reason I tell you to use the phone is most of us are afraid of evangelism in person. So you can start on the phone. Now, they can't hurt you when you're on the phone. Right? In that moment, you'll have fears. What's going to happen? What might this person say? Well, you're on the phone. What's the worst that can happen? He can't come through the phone and choke you, right? This man faced a king, right? And I think there's a practical bit here that, and all who attended went out from him. Try to talk to people alone. If there's a group of Muslims and one of them has a question, you want to try to meet with them later alone. There can be a dynamic in a group that can be contrary to the gospel, peer pressure. Maybe they don't want to talk to you in front of their friends, but when they're alone, all that is gone. We know it works very well with Muslims. Say, let me talk to you one-on-one about that. You can even take them aside in that very moment. It says, and all who attended went out from him. So Ehud came to him. Now he was sitting upstairs in his cool private chamber. Then Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. So he arose from his seat. Now I want to pause there and tell you, it's very important that you let the person you talk to, let them know, what I'm reading you on the phone, or what I'm showing you, this is God's own word. In fact, the word of God is Jesus, the written incarnation of Jesus, you might say. This is God's word, and I like to tell them, God is watching right now as I share this with you. God is listening right now as I share this with you. Things get really serious when you say that. And that's good. That's good. What did Ehud say? I have a message from God for you. So he arose from his seat. Right? Do we have a message from God for the world, the Great Commission? We do, don't we? And of course, concerning the apostles, Jesus told them they would suffer persecutions, but it would be for sake of testimony, and that they would be before kings and rulers. So there was that in the New Testament. And Paul, therefore, King Agrippa, Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So the New Testament apostles dealt with kings too. But the thrusting and the sword was the word of God they were putting to people. And we have that enshrined for us. The very words they said are scripture. So we have these same words to use. That's how the New Testament and the Old Testament are mirroring each other here. And he had reached with his left hand, took the dagger from his right hand, and thrust into his belly. Even the hilt went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade, for he did not draw the dagger out of his belly. And his entrails came out. There was an elder in Omaha who spoke on this. He said, in goes the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and out comes the filth. You have to thrust and aim for the heart. Here's how I've learned to do it, and perhaps in a few years I'll learn something better. But for now, this is working, and I'll share it with you. I point the scripture to them, or if I'm on the phone, I'll read it to them, and I'll immediately say, what is God saying to you? It becomes very personal. Now you're thrusting for the heart. What is God saying to you? Now we're out of time. I have to stop here. But there'll be all kinds of things and interruptions you face as you do this. The devil is going to be working in them. Even as the Holy Spirit's convicting them, the devil's trying to work too. The God of this world and his angels, right? The fallen angels. And you'll hear all kinds of opposition. And I can characterize all the different things you'll hear with just one sentence. What about the price of tea in China? The oppositions they give you have nothing to do with what matters. And I'll have to go into this in more detail next week with more encouraging stories of how we've done this as the Lord has helped us learn. But what you have to do is don't get caught up in the price of tea in China. Because even if you settle that argument, they're still not saved. Imagine if the king has said to Ehud, before you hit me with that, what about this other matter? Ehud didn't even give opportunity. He just thrusts. As you face that opposition, the important thing to do is say, yeah, I hear you. The price of tea in China, I wonder about that too. But can you tell me something? What is God telling you here? And you're thrusting back into the heart with the short sword of the Roman gladius. And of course, how did Ehud do it? Even the hilt went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade, for he did not draw the dagger out of his belly, and his entrails came out. Don't you draw the dagger out. Don't withdraw the sword of the Spirit. You keep thrusting. And Romans is a beautiful gladius, divinely inspired. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You might consider that the tip of the sword. But salvation really happens at Romans 10, the final verses in Romans Road. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then it goes beyond the hilt, if you will, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we'll go into this in more detail next week, but I've learned, thrust the tip, what is God saying to you? And they want to talk about the price of tea in China, right? And then thrust again, what is God saying to you? And once they have the tip in their heart, then you thrust with the next verse. What is God saying to you here? And you need to thrust all the way to the hilt. And the hilt is Romans 10:9. And what did he do? What did Ehud do in the text? Even the hilt went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade, for he did not draw the dagger out of his belly, and his entrails came out. You got to thrust all the way through. Now, if they say, I don't want to continue this, I just let them know, you need to know that if you die today, you're going to Sheol, Hades, when I tell them hell, what you would refer to as hell. You want to let them know that. And of course, eventually the lake of fire. So, and it's a tough thing to do if they don't continue. Sometimes they do, usually they do, but if they don't continue, you got to let them know, listen, if you were to die today, you have to know where you're going. And sometimes they say, okay, well, that's fine. I don't want to talk anymore. But you'd be surprised how many times it goes all the way to the hilt. And we've seen people get saved through the word of God being thrust in their heart. And we'll share with you encouraging stories next week about that. Pardon me for going over time for a couple minutes. Father, we thank you for the word of God, quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, Lord, that it is the weapon of our warfare. It is how we got saved, and it is how other men get saved. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Father, we pray as we go out that we would distribute these to people we see and give it to them. Say, here's a blessing. Here's the message of the Bible. You must believe this to be saved. We pray for that. And we pray, Lord, for the salvation of those who have received these things and from us in the past, that they would not resist the Holy Spirit convicting them of sin, righteousness, and judgment, but they would relent. We pray for them to believe in Jesus' name, and we give you thanks for Jesus, our sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Amen.